Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Here is Ezekiel, comes from Ezekiel 34, 9 through 10. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. Now scroll down to verse 22. Continues. I will save my flock and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another.
The second reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, and so will God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. God bless the reading of this word.
The New Testament reading for today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him.
Well, good morning, church family. I'm Ellis, for those of you that are guests of ours today, and I haven't done this in a very long time. I actually got up at 4 a.m. and rewrote my sermon, so this has only literally been in my head in the last few hours. And let me just start by saying this, a couple of things. Had I taught the sermon that I was going to teach, we are looking at Matthew 2, and we started last week kind of comparing these Magi and Herod. Last week, I encouraged us not to be a Herod. Like, I think many times we think that these characters are other people, when in all actuality, there's probably something in all of the characters that we can see some overlap in our lives. And if Jesus is king, if that's really what we want, if Jesus is truly king, think about that. It's his way or no way, right? But do we really want that? So the temptation, which we talked about last week, is that Jesus the king shows up in our kingdom. And then do we respond like Herod? Like, okay, Jesus, I got to find you. I got to put you, if I don't kill you, right? Because I really want to be the king of my own kingdom, right? And I was going to talk to you this week about Herod and how his dad manipulated Rome as a high priest so that Herod could become the governor of Galilee. And he used that as a 25-year-old as leverage to grow in his political power. I could have talked to you about how Herod had not only taken advantage of that, he then got promoted because when Rome was going through its civil war, which was happening at this time, he sided with two particular individuals that lost. You guys remember their names? Roman history? Mark Antony and Octavian, right? Didn't they go up against, I don't remember. It was a bunch of history. We were going to talk about it. I didn't, so we're not. So, but yet then the Herod sided with lost, and then he turned to the other two. Hey, I really wanted to be with you guys all along. This is a very elementary summation of how Herod manipulated his way to be the king of Israel as what Rome did. They would look for locals to empower, because when he was the governor of Galilee, he was known for two things: Taxation, he sent a bunch of money to Rome. Rome loved that. And he also was excellent at destroying revolts. And so when people would rise up against Rome, he came down hard on them as a Jewish man himself. And so he developed this reputation. So I'm not talking to you about any of that today. We really could have stopped after the worship set and what Andre shared. It's really, to me, a sense that God's Spirit is with us. Because this week we lost the mother of our church, and so to speak. Many of you don't know this. She's been fighting cancer for almost 2 years. And outside of my mom, who's watching, probably the most influential woman in my life. So she met Jesus face to face a little after 4:45 Thursday morning. And in her early 60s, very young but yet wise woman. Literally, let me just give you a quick snapshot of the beauty of this lady that many of you I wish you knew. Some of you do know her. She is just wisdom. She was kind. She exuded the fruits of God's Spirit. And our church, much of our church right now is still here because this woman was a rock for me as a pastor. There were, even up until this last couple of weeks, with her lying in her bed on Zoom, looking at me and other leaders in the face and saying, let me tell you what Jesus is telling me for you. So even leading, like literally 2 weeks to the day that she passed away, she was in a group meeting about the heart and the direction of our church. And really right up to her last breath, she was thinking about us. And so this has been an emotional couple of days, and that's just one of the things. So when I say to you, and Andre said to you, like, there are people going through stuff. There are people going through stuff. I'm looking into the eyes of people who have lost their jobs. I'm looking into the eyes of people that are grieving the loss of relatives that are not celebrating Christmas with us. Like, we're looking into the eyes of people that are going through very difficult periods of time, and I am one of them. I'm impacted by that today. So the ability for me to pastor and shepherd you, it's like, I feel like we're all drowning in the ocean, and I'm the one that's supposed to save you, but I'm the weakest swimmer in the bunch, right? That's kind of what it feels like this morning. But yet, I also know that through the encouragement of the songs that we've sung, through the scriptures that were read, that our God is faithful. And that's what, and so if there's anything that I can be for you in our generation, I want to be a steady voice like Isaiah. Because for a lot of us, the reason why I decided to add Isaiah to the mix today is that in this poetic poem, that is a foreshadowing to Emmanuel, God being with us. The reason why we went back to this is because the people that are listening to him, I don't want us to think about Isaiah as a character. I want to think about who would have been hearing Isaiah speak these words. So I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. But let me tell you why I feel like this fits into an Advent and an Advent that is about joy. Because that does not seem like the word that would be the end result of what we're trying to accomplish today when I'm talking to you about the death of Sandra Gray and how she mothered us and cared for us, if not directly to you, through me to you. And so with that, I just want to say Advent is not a tune-up for Christmas. Like, Advent isn't the pep rally, so to speak. Advent is us finding ourselves fully present in this world through the hurt and the pain and the suffering that we face so that we can have a hope of a Christmas. It's not the time for us to think, well, Advent is the time we go to the mall and sit on Santa's lap and get a picture taken. It's not the time that we make our Christmas list. Advent is us is sitting in and identifying our life. Where we are, where our joys, where our sorrows. Because here's the thing. Some of us right now do not need Advent. Your life is like the light of Christ is shining on you and in you. And you have so many reasons for joy. And in this season, there is an unnecessary burden on you to bring light into a room. You have to tell your reasons for rejoicing. You have to tell your reasons for celebration. Because many of us, like Andre shared just a few minutes ago, need this group to remind us about who God is and what he has done and what he will be doing. And so this isn't a time for you to hide your light like, oh, this is a time for us to be sad. No, this is a time for us to acknowledge that people in our faith family are sad, are in darkness, and are carrying heavy loads. But that doesn't mean that we want you to necessarily join us in our sadness. We want you to bring joy into our lives, to remind us of the things that are true, to remind us that God still can produce miracles, that God still can speak powerful words of faith, hope, and love in and through us. Fleming Rutledge is a trusted theologian. I love her work. Some of her Advent writings are some of the best that I've ever read. And she actually says this, in Advent, where faith in mankind comes to an end and Christmas begins. Can I just tell you guys this? I have spent time with a lot of people in the last 25 years as a pastor. And the majority of us have been hurt by people, not God. Can I just summarize it that simply? The majority of us have been hurt. And then a lot of us have a lot of hurt towards God that we credit him for, but actually was somebody else. And we just are mad at him because he allowed that other person to do that thing. And so we're mad at him for these things. And so Advent is a time for us to just get real and raw in the fact that no human leader is ever going to do us justice. And if you ever question that, I want you to go back and read all of Ezekiel chapter 34. Summer just read a couple of verses out of that passage. And that passage, even though it uses the word shepherd, that's a metaphor for human leaders. Humans that take on to say, I'm going to guide you, I'm going to lead you, I'm going to protect you. And when God, through Ezekiel in chapter 34, just vents how disappointed he is in human leaders. And if you ever wonder if God's got your back in regards to the failed human leadership around the world, go to Ezekiel chapter 34. We'll probably spend some more time on that in a non-election year. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. I'm also using an Advent guide written by a lady named Lisa Whittle. And this week she poses three questions. And I think they're really important questions for us to sit in this week. The first one is can you think of a time when you felt lonely and felt like no one else could relate? Think about that just for a minute. There are some of you right now sitting in this room, myself included, so much so that I even during one of the worship songs asked if I could just stand next to my dear sister Kathy because I just didn't want to be in that song by myself. It is so easy for us in this environment, even with people claiming the name of Jesus, that we can sit here and feel alone. And it is okay for us during Advent to call out and to name it, why am I going through this? And the follow-up that she has is, what does Jesus's loneliness reveal to you? And we're thinking about Christ coming into this world. Man, he was the greatest outsider ever to live here. I mean, just think about the demotion of what it's like to go from the glories of heaven to becoming human. Like, we are longing to go from human to the glories of heaven. Jesus knows that in reverse. Could you imagine knowing perfect love, perfect peace, perfect harmony, perfect joy, and then coming down to join the mess that we're experiencing? Because Jesus felt everything that we feel. And Christmas is a reminder of that. The second thing that Lisa said for us to meditate on this week is holidays can be a tough time for a lot of people who are alone, grieving, or have broken relationships. What are ways we can help someone or people to feel less lonely this season? Can I just tell you personal testimony? After the email went out to the Covenant family about our meeting coming up on Wednesday and the announcement that Sandra had passed, within a couple of hours, there's a flower bouquet on the front door of my house. Somebody wanted my family to know immediately that we weren't alone, that we weren't not seen, and that we were loved. And not only was the bouquet beautiful, and it smells fantastic, there was a wonderful handwritten note attached to it that just spoke a few sentences of love that was a way for us to know that on one of the heaviest grieving days we've had in a while, which is saying a lot, that you're not in this by yourself. So I'm looking at you in the face and saying to you, who do you need to remind that they're not alone through this Advent season? Like, all of us want to be acknowledged, but it is our responsibility. I say this, everybody that has ever asked me to do a wedding, and I've probably done 40 or 50 weddings in my ministry career, probably maybe more than that. I felt like I did that many in 1 year a few years ago. But every time I stand up there and I agree to a minister, to be the minister at a wedding, I look the bride and the groom in the face, and I tell both of them they have to be the initiator of love in the relationship. Both of them. It's not just the man's responsibility, it's not just the woman's responsibility, but if you sit back and you want the other person, well, when are they going to show me love? You're going to kill whatever's inside of you that once was burning brightly. Like, we've got to learn to say, like, what I need is what other people need. The type of love that I need to feel is the type of love other people need to feel. So why do I have to delegate that responsibility to other people so that I feel loved when I can't deny that? I have to participate in this kind of love. And so what are some of the ways that you and I this week can let somebody know that they're not lonely and they're not forgotten? And we need to take a quick inventory of who's in the room around us right now, because some people in here, it's very easy for us right now in this space to see a sign on them that says, I'm lonely, because we can just read that. The Spirit gives us the ability to discern that. But why would we have that knowledge and then do nothing about it? We need to continue to take care of one another. The other thing Lisa wants us to journal on this week is think back to a time when you were lonely and someone either made you feel loved, seen, or wanted, et cetera. What did that person do? And I already kind of shared that in form of a testimony, but I do think it's important for us to think that way as we step into this. But going back to Isaiah chapter 62, I want to encourage you to read these verses again and again this week, because I want you to be reminded of how much God sees our circumstances and how much Isaiah was reminding the people of Israel of what God's promises were. And so let me just tell you about the people of Israel, and then I'm going to use Charlie Brown and Lucy, and then we're going to get to an end just in a minute, all right? And so with this, sorry, I need to turn my feature off of my iPad. Isaiah is writing a group of people from the nation of Israel. After they've been in an exile period, they are now allowed to go back to their old homes and old cities in captivity, but not away from their homes anymore. But the people are like, yes, we're back in our land, but their temple is still destroyed. The city has no walls for protection. Their homes are still destroyed. So they are coming back into homes that once were fully furnished, were brand new to them. But now they're coming back almost like it would be in a picture in Ukraine right now, where you see a city that apartments and homes and schools and preschools and hospitals have been bombed out. And the people are like, okay, we're allowed to go back into our city now. Well, what joy is it in going back into your city when everything you see is in ruins? And so the people Isaiah is speaking to, he's speaking to them by saying, look, I know that your house is in ruins. I know that your family's in ruins. Some of your family members never even made it out of exile. So you're coming back and walking through somebody's room in your house and they're not with you. You're walking through a moment where this street used to remind you of joys and songs. And Isaiah is speaking to a bunch of people that are experiencing some freedom, but they have no king, they have no kingdom, they have no temple, they have no walls of protection, but yet they're just in the midst of that brokenness. And can I just say to us as a church family, can you do your best this week to get in touch with that emotion? It's hard for us because most of us aren't living in ruin. I had the privilege of driving a couple from our church around yesterday and talking about neighborhoods and places to rent or to buy homes and all of that. And it was a joy. But we had to drive through some neighborhoods where row homes are still boarded up. And if I'm correct in my research, there is approximately 20,000 boarded up homes in Baltimore City. It's a staggering number of homes. And if we're not careful, you and I, because we have jobs, we have electricity, we have food, we have cars, we have whatever, like a house with, you know, decorations and all that, we will forget what it is like to be reliant upon our God. And we become very quick to trust ourselves. But Advent reminds us that you can't put your trust in humans. Our trust can only be in our Lord and King Jesus Christ. And so the people that Isaiah is speaking to are in darkness, but he's telling them their darkness is going to end. He doesn't tell them when. He doesn't give them in 2023, your darkness is going to be over. He doesn't say any of that. He speaks words that he heard from God for them and reminds them, and he continually says to them, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to remind you about what God has said, but their circumstances aren't different. He's reminding them of the hope, the future, and all that. And why was that so powerful? I want to show you a picture from the Thanksgiving Charlie Brown movie. I think we have it. Infamous moment. Do you guys remember this? What is Charlie Brown about ready to attempt to do? Kick the football. How many times has he attempted to kick this football in the past? Let's just be honest. There has been so many times. Like the writers of this Thanksgiving special built this moment up big time, because up to this point, Lucy, every time she encourages Charlie Brown to kick that football, what does she do? She pulls it away. But this time on Thanksgiving, Lucy looks at him with a smile on his face and says, Charlie Brown, I am not going to move this football. You can trust me. You can kick this football. I don't have the picture of it up, which would probably have been a good contrast. But if you actually saw the next moments of this, Charlie Brown goes way back in the grass, comes running for all he's worth, rears back to kick that football like he's Justin Tucker trying to make a 70-yarder to win the Jacksonville, whatever it was. It's like he's... And what does he end up? On his back. And Lucy's smiling, looking at him like, can I just tell you this? There are a lot of you in this room that trust God like Charlie Brown was trusting Lucy, who was a liar. You think that God is pulling the football back on you. You think that God doesn't keep his word. You think all these things about the fact that somebody like Lucy is a notorious liar to Charlie Brown, especially in relation to football. And we will sit down in this week and act and talk to God like as if he's not trustworthy. But can I tell you this? God is trustworthy. He has never broken a promise. He will never break a promise. And when we are in the midst of our darkness and in the midst of our pain, it does seem like God is not being faithful. It seems like God backed out on his word. And there's times where we look at scripture, especially things that even Jesus said, and we want that to be true. And people like myself, pastors have spoken bad theology, or pastors have taught people or not even taken time to disciple people. So we have spiritual gifts. We know nothing or don't even know how to use them. And so we're sitting here messing it up and we're blaming God for the chaos that we're creating. And that's what happened in the nation of Israel. God set them up to be successful and they abandoned him as a God. They walked away from his wisdom and truth and ways. They lost the generosity of God towards other people. They wanted a human king. And God's like, if you get a human king, it's going to fail you. But I'm the one you need to lean into. But you and I are making the same mistakes they did. And then we're getting angry with God when through our decisions, we're left in areas of darkness. And then there's other places where it's just like, man, death needs to stop. Like, I am just so tired of the people in my life that are the most life-giving being taken. In the last 6 years, I've lost my dad. I've lost Ginger's dad. I've lost Ginger's mom. I've lost Sandra now. I've lost other mentors. I mean, I'm like, God, listen, can I give you a list of people to take? I mean, seriously, that's how I feel. It's like there are other people I would love for you to take. Like, why are you taking my anchors? Like, these are people that remind me of truth. I've got people that are lying, and I'm like, can't you take them? You know, and so I just want you to understand that God gives us the freedom to express our deepest longings, and that's what Advent is for. And what Isaiah is saying to the nation of Israel, whether fault of your own or whatever messed up thinking or the fact that you're in ruins, I want you to know God's going to be faithful, and one day this is going to end. We are going to have a true king who's going to make things the right way. And there is nothing that anybody is ever going to be able to do to stop it, because God is not done with us. He's not done with us. He's got so much he wants us to do. But in order for us to do it, we're going to have to go through all different types of suffering. And that doesn't necessarily stand up to what we want. We want the red carpet. We want the loaded Christmas tree with tons of gifts under it, right? We want to feel like everything we touch turns to gold, when actually God is saying, I want you to go and I want you to love people so much it hurts. I want you to drain your empathy out for other people, knowing that you can come back to me and I'll fill you back up in this life of being poured out for other people. And so no matter what choices we've made, no matter what things happen in this life, much like last week, I want to remind you of a couple of things. The first is that God always speaks in the darkness. Can I just tell you guys this? From the time Dusty, who is Sandra's husband, called me Thursday morning, there have been nonstop moments where God is saying, Ellis, I'm with you in this pain. Nonstop. Whether it's the flowers that have arrived, moments sitting in my house just staring at my Christmas tree and just saying all kinds of things to the Lord, and him putting me on his lap and reminding me of his great love and faithfulness. Even this morning, meeting me and talking to me before we came to church this morning. Like, I just want to tell you guys this. God talks to us in our darkness. And if he's not, it's probably because you're not acknowledging him. You probably aren't wanting him to talk to you. The second thing is God is trustworthy. He is no Lucy. He's trustworthy. And the evil one in this world is trying to get us to believe something otherwise. Because if you and I lose our trust in God, then we're losing a king that's going to lead us in the right direction. And the evil one does not want that to happen. Another thing that I think we need to remember from this Isaiah story is we live today knowing that this isn't the way it's going to be. I think you and I, we need to remind each other of that. We need to look each other in the face and say, no matter what we're going through right now, this is not the end. This is not our eternal state. Death may have stung, but it is not the victory. And there is so much about the future hope that we need to take time as a church talking about, because remembering what God has done in the past, which is basically what our worship set was this morning, a great reminder of truth about the way God has already kept his promises, and us thinking about the fact that God has said it's not going to be that way, has to have an impact on our present. So it's almost like the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas future, and the ghost of, like, it's like, let me just tell you, I don't care how we describe it, is faithful, faithful, faithful. That's who God is. Amen. Trustworthy, trustworthy, trustworthy now. And that's what Advent is to remind us of. And here's the other thing. And this is what I desire to be for you, as well as I desire others. Like, we live in a podcast, YouTube, like, you can have pastors around the world that you listen to, but I feel honored that you sit in this room with me, or you watch online here with me. But I just want to tell you, I want to be faithful Isaiah, because we are living in a broken time. Death still stings. Loss still feels like loss. But we need voices in our life to tell us about what joy comes in the morning. We need a voice to tell us, hold on, dawn is about ready to come. Have any of you ever gotten up intentionally to watch a sunrise? Anybody? There's a few of you. All right. How many of you have only seen sunrises when you've been required to get up early, right? Many of you would rather the sun set rather than the sunrise. But can I tell you, there's something special about a dawn? Have you ever been out early enough where you see the morning star appear first? And then you start to see that orange glow start to come up on the horizon. So if you haven't gotten up early enough to see the morning star first, you need to get there about 20 minutes earlier, right? Because there's a foreshadowing of what's coming. But can I tell you guys this? For nearly 50 years of my life, there's been a dawn every day. And that is a reminder of God's faithfulness. It is dark, and it gets the darkest before the dawn. And just as God puts a fresh sunrise in the sky every day, he is going to keep his promises to us about a new day that's coming, no matter how dark your night has been. And this is where the people of Israel were in Isaiah's time. This is where the people of Israel were when Jesus appeared. And when Jesus died on the cross, he has now started a cosmic change. And it is one day going to be fully completed. And when it is fully completed, there will be no more reason for tears. There will only be reasons for us to rejoice. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to hold up Dusty and their children, grandchildren, this morning. And Father, as we look for ways of honoring Sandra here, Father, I pray for her family. Father, we're longing for a day that we don't feel like this anymore. But we are thankful that you've told us that it does come to an end. We are thankful that for unto us was born this day in the city of David, Christ the King. And so, Lord, as we wait with questions, many questions, we trust you, and we are asking for the Spirit of truth to wait patiently with us in the dark, and we're longing for that dawn. We're longing for the sunrise, and Father, I thank you so much for the ways that you're showing miraculous power in the lives of some of our brothers and sisters, even right here, right now. So many places where light is breaking through dark seasons. And so, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would empower our brothers and sisters that have a song of rejoicing in their heart to lead us now in that rejoicing. Father, give us the recollection of all the times in our history, not just in the Bible, but in our own stories of times where you've broken through for us, where you've helped us, you've provided for us, you've met us. And Father, let us be able to project that into our current day and into our future days, knowing that the same God that held our hand in the past is the same God that's holding our hands now and the same God that will hold our hands in the future. Father, we thank you that you're trustworthy. And we thank you in that trust we can experience joy. So Father, we love you and we thank you so much for the ways that you've set plans in place to bring salvation, to bring healing to us and our broken humanity. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.